Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes and I'm so happy you're with us today. Our guest today is a master at something I never have had the patience to do at all. Back in the 70s, remember the Beatles? Well, the Beatles discovered meditation, and so did my husband. And he and I went to California for a week and studied with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, believe it or not. And Edward turned out to be great at meditation. I turned out to be a complete failure at meditation. I never could quiet the monkey mind. So my husband went on to meditate every day for the next 50 years. It did him a world of good. Actually, it was very good for him. On the other hand, every Seek Reality guest I have ever had who has been a meditation teacher has tried to teach me to be a meditator, and I never have been. They've all been very good sports. They've tried. I've always failed. I can't meditate at all. And in fact, I have a perfect record of being a failure as a meditator. But today's guest, on the other hand, began to meditate before he was out of his teens. By the time he was 21, he was meditating for 2 hours every day. And his ability to meditate really has shaped his life. Michael Goddard is the author of several deeply spiritual books, which have won him multiple awards, amazing awards. His books in particular include A New Now, Your Guide to Mastering Wisdom Daily, Achieving Equilibrium, and Empowering Your Nobler Self, which is the winner of the American Book Fest Best Book Award, the Living Now Book Award, the Body, Mind, Spirit Book Award, and the National Indie Excellence Award. Michael Goddard has another wonderful spiritual book coming out in the spring, for which I just provided a blurb. I've been asked to blurb so many books, it's embarrassing because I always forget. But Michael kept after me. Blurbing other people's books is something I always mean to do, and I feel terrible that I always sort of never do it. But when he kept after me, I picked up that book and read it. I thought it was wonderful, and Michael was happy with the result. Michael lives the kind of spirit life that many people would like to do, but actually, he and I have something in common. By day, I'm a business attorney. By night, I do all the things you think of me as doing. By day, Michael has lived a career as an international tax consultant, and by night he's done these wonderful other things. So we do have this in common, and I think he's done a wonderful job with his spiritual life. Here for the third time is our Seek Reality guest and my friend, Michael Goddard. Michael, welcome. I'm so happy to have you back again.
Oh, yes. I'm delighted to be back with you, Robert, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. Definitely. Yeah, well, first of all, there was so many good things you said in the introduction. First, I want to say, never, ever judge yourself in regard to your meditation. The main thing is effort. Your responsibility is effort, and the results don't even think about. So the whole idea is to grind down your ego. And if we get into my search, I just also want to mention, my first formal meditation was transcendental meditation. I had Maharishi's poster up on the wall, but I knew intuitively that was a stopgap measure until I found my true path when I was 20. So, right. So in terms of the monkey mind, there's really only one way to quiet it. And we can get into this later. And that's immersion in what's called the sound current, also called the word in the Bible, logos. It's the audible life stream of the original source. So it is beyond mind. It is a current of soul that we've all heard at one time or another. If you've ever heard, some people go to the doctor and they have ringing in their ears or buzzing. Well, that's merely echoes usually, unless it's a medical condition. It's an echo of the sound current, which is really my practice.
Well, I think I just was not supposed to somehow do it. He really
Well,
did it.
we all have, I'm glad you said that because we all have our time and place. And my seeking at a young age, I had been prepared to do that because of past lives when I was a totally ardent seeker. But for, I have almost every host I have an interview with, says they can't meditate for 2 minutes. And actually, I have a perfect book for you, and it's just come out. An audiobook on its 25th anniversary. It's called Bliss. It's 33 simple things you can do to awaken your spiritual self. So it's a short book. The actual hardcover is beautifully illustrated. Of course, the audiobook book is not illustrated, but that's something you can listen to if you're feeling a quintella or a large amount of guilt that you can't sit down to meditate and you really want to awaken and further your spiritual self. And that's a wonderful primer for gearing you up on your search for gaining all the spirituality that you can deserve and receive this lifetime.
So what got you started on meditating when you were so young?
Well, what got me started was in this life, I had tropical fish as a very young kid when I was 4 and 5 for many years, and I bred them. And every so often, there'd be one floating on the top or one on the bottom, and I'd have to fish it out and flush it down the toilet. So I knew all about death. I knew about reproduction from the fish. I didn't have to get a birds and bees talk. I had my own fish interaction. So I was very concerned about death. And I went to a very informal religious service right after I turned 11, right after we had moved to Marin County, California. And I just knew then and there that organized religion wasn't for me. It didn't really give out the truth for me. I needed something alive and real. And so I started with my consciousness exploring what is death and trying to create the experience of what it'll be like. And I was filled with such fear and loathing that I dedicated right then and there when I was 11 to discovering the answer to life and death. So that began my search. However, I had been ardently, consciously seeking for 3 past lives prior to that. And that's all documented in wonderful detail in Search of Lost Lives. I call my immediate prior life when I was English and I was a co-owner of a stationery and office supply store. I call that the seeker life because I read book after book after book looking for that certain something. So I continued to search when a big marker in the search was when I was playing with my fish and cleaning the tanks, the news was on. And the local news came on. There was a report of a man who had walked from San Francisco to Salt Lake City. And the announcer said he was a vegetarian. And a light went off in my head. And I thought, oh, I'm going to become a vegetarian, but I won't be able to do it while I'm still living with my parents. Once I turn legal and I'm like legally responsible for my actions, technically, I'll become a vegetarian. And then there was a quirk. I joined like an afternoon like debate political science discussion group, and I didn't have bus service from that school that late. So a friend of mine invited me to spend the night over. So every week I would spend the night at his house, and it turned out he was a seeker too. So going into university, I was a history fellow for UC Berkeley and was going to England. And by that time, we knew that this path we were searching for, we were going to become vegetarian, and meditation was the prime element of the path. We figured that out. But I was living for England, and we still hadn't found what we were looking for. So I decided I would get initiated into TM, Transcendental Meditation, to tide me over. So I went to England, and I didn't really meditate by the rules. You're only supposed to meditate at that time twice a day, but I was going through such a dark night of the soul, I was meditating five times a day, well into the night, and it really energized me. And so that was really that whole year, the dark night of my soul. And then I came back early. I was going to finish a novel on a Greek island. I had made terrific progress on this novel with much encouragement, but I kept getting pulled back. And as soon as I got a house in Berkeley, I got a call out of the blue. My friend was going to India. He had just gotten married. He came over. I took one look at him and I knew he'd found what we were looking for. So, but that this is, you know, my path I follow, and I don't really announce the name or who my meditation teacher was, because it's really up to people to take responsibility for their own search and develop their inner knowing to know what's right. I mean, if you're a mother with, you know, three young children and a job and all the household duties, you may not have time to meditate. It may not be your time. I mean, we come here with a certain destiny, and there's a meditation in my new book that talks about destiny. It's called "Can You Finesse Your Destiny?" It's the question, and you can really. I mean, everybody has high points and low points, terrible challenges, but you can by leading a spiritual life, and that's where, you know, whatever effort you can put into furthering your search, whatever you can read, whatever you can listen to, will help develop that foundation. You may, you know, most people are not meant to meditate 2.5 hours a day.
I think that's the problem for me, Michael. I think that I just had so much else that I felt that I was supposed to be doing. It seemed like downtime to meditate.
Oh, well, some people feel guilty if they try to meditate, and it's like the very, very best thing you can do for you. Now, for me, part of my path is tithing my time, which is 2.5 hours a day. But it's really all a question of priorities.
Yes.
And because often I think I need to read something or look into something, and I just focus in on my intuition and ask my inner guidance whether I really, you know, whether this is optimal for me, whether it's for my highest and best good. And I'll get a, no, you can leave it go. So it really simplifies my life.
Yes. Yeah, no, what did you get out of it when you meditated? Did it make you more peaceful?
Well, peaceful, blissful. And also the main thing, I felt I was no longer wasting my life. If I were to miss a morning meditation, I'd feel my life is being wasted. I think there's a quote in the Bible, I forget if it's in John or whatever, but it's a sin against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. And people have just taken that and run with it and assigned all kinds of meanings. And it's really very simple. The Holy Ghost is what I mentioned earlier, is the sound current, the word, the logos, and it means a sin against it. Like if you don't attend to it, you've lost that time. You've lost the time, you can't get it back. I write about time in the new book, the decrement of time, the gradual wasting of it. We have so many breaths in this life, and it's up to us to make best use of it.
Yeah.
But you can always stop and take stock and ask, you know, what is the best thing for me to do now, and rearrange commitments. But it's all about developing your higher mind, because, and I write extensively about that in A New Now, which is my most recently published book that's won 13 book awards and honors. And it's all about distinguishing, we each have a higher and a lower mind, and the great mass of the population, the lower mind is predominant. It's the more powerful part of the mind. That's why there's so many horrible things going on. Oh, you know, the killing, the violence, the backbiting, you name it. My higher mind didn't become predominant until 12 lives ago when I was a Tibetan and I had a very, very high government position in Lhasa, Tibet. So only fairly recently did my higher mind become more predominant than my lower mind, and that really began to turbocharge my spiritual evolution. Because during that life, I was greatly impressed and influenced by two Zen monks, and I knew that they were beyond what a normal human is like. They had attained a certain degree of enlightenment. So from then on, I was just one life after another grooming me for this life, where it's really focused mainly on spirituality. So we are where we are. We are in our journey. But what I hope, what my new book, which has not been published yet, it will really set up an understanding of why we're here and what true spirituality is. But to have a handbook of life to sweep away all the chaff in your life, that's where a new now, I think, would really help. Because I started taking notes as I was doing promotion and interviews for In Search of Lost Lives, and I didn't know whether I'd have a book or not. And it was a really unusual book. And so I took off for Florida for a couple of weeks just to look at the notes and see if there was a book there. And I started reading it and I started revising it. And then when it really gelled, I was having dinner in a vegetarian restaurant and I saw the sweetest young couple. They looked about 20 and they were having a hard time finishing their meal because they were too busy taking pictures of what they were eating and posting it on social media. And I thought, wow, okay, this is fun. But my mother had died of pancreatic cancer rather quickly and surprisingly. And I thought, you know, if those were my children, if those were my fraternal twins, and I was 45, 48, whatever, and I was dying of pancreatic cancer, this is the book I'd want to leave for them. And then I was thinking, because I talking to friends who had sisters who'd worked all their lives, had families, never a moment to themselves, busy around the, you know, and finally they were going to retire, they were going to leave their main job. This is the book for them also, to really take stock of your life and do with it what you are meant to. So this is an eminently practical book, but interwoven are really high spiritual teachings.
I think the thing about a new now is I thought it was good for young people who are trying to orient their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, you get to, most of us, I don't know how much of your past lives you remember consciously. Most of us don't have any memory of past lives. Mm-hmm. So we feel as if we're going through our lives once. This is our only life. And we don't, you know, life is something that is for beginners and where we don't know how to do it. And so it's too bad. We don't get to kind of go through this beginner life, figure out how to do it, and then we then do the real life because we make a lot of mistakes the first time through. And so a new now is a good handbook for how to avoid some of those mistakes, how to figure it out and do it better the first time than you would have done it if you didn't have the handbook.
Right. Well, it's a book about receiving wisdom and teaching yourself how to access your wise self, and
right,
also about returning to equilibrium, the state of being at your spiritual center and dynamic balance.
Right.
But it's really also for anyone going through an early midlife crisis or a late midlife crisis, where you're really thinking, you know, what's it all about? How can I have a better focus in my life? What would be the truest life for me now? And how can I make best use of my life? It's a manual, you know, on how to live.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yes.
You don't really know how to do it. You want to do it the best way you can. So a new now looks to me to be a useful way to avoid making some of those beginner mistakes, because we all feel like beginners when we're starting out in this life.
Right.
And I thought it was very helpful that way. I would recommend it to young people who want to do it right, more right than they could do it if they didn't have some kind of handbook. Unfortunately, many people don't have parents who know much more than the kids do. They're skimming along the surface of their parents are skimming along the surface of their lives still.
They don't know what they're doing. They don't have it figured out. They're doing typically the best they can, but people grow up in all kinds of abusive families or no families. Right. They suffer with peers. It's really about rising above things and being at the cause rather than the effect. So, yeah. And you can also download what I call the Journey Journal from my website, which is Goddart.com, G-O-D-D-A-R-T for Tom. And that's really just some, and I give instructions in the book of how to complete and how to work with the Journey Journal. It's really your own creation. And it's a Word document you can download and use any way you wish.
One of the problems many people in the Western world have is that our primary religion is Christianity. And Christianity is not a religion that was created by Jesus, unfortunately. Many people believe that it was. If it were, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have, because the Christianity that we have was created by the Roman Emperor Constantine. As anyone who is sort of familiar with my work knows, I've been a student of Christianity all my life. I majored in college, and I've studied it my whole life. And Jesus didn't create the one we got. Jesus created a whole different one, which Constantine destroyed. And the Constantine-created Christianity is fear-based. And so we have a lot of fears we should not be living with. And many people who have left Christianity are therefore fear-based and angry. They don't even understand how fear-based and angry they are. So what you teach, Michael, I think, is useful, very useful for people who are in that position, because what you teach is not fear-based and angry. What you teach is, I think, quite useful and hopeful, because a lot of it comes from Eastern teachings, although it isn't really...
I wouldn't characterize it actually as either Eastern or Western, but it's really the teachings of all the realized masters and true saints.
Yeah, you don't base it on any one of them in particular, is what I like. It's just all the wisdoms brought together and kind of usefully used, as opposed to any one of them. I like that about what you teach.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, the thing is, you know, if you could have been a disciple of Christ, it would have been a totally different situation.
Yes, but we couldn't. We had none of us who grew up in Christianity had that opportunity. They didn't.
Yeah, because you didn't live nearly 2,000 years ago. And if he had authored the Bible himself, it would be completely different. I mean, a lot of it, well, you know far better than I. A lot of it was written, you know, 200 years after he left the physical. And I mean, if I go to a talk by somebody, I can't remember the next day. And if I try to take notes, they're not very good. But the point is, Roberta and everyone, we can do this unconsciously. Most of the time it's done unconsciously. Never limit the grace of God, the higher power. It's like, you know, if he sent his son one time, it's like, what about all the people who died before he came and the people who were born after he left? God's grace is unlimited. My teaching is that there is always a living son or daughter on this planet at one time, at least one, who is truly merged in the supreme being, which has no name, call it whatever you will. So if you really, really want God, want to return to God, you can seek for that being. And the point is, you don't have to find that being. It's really all about your intention and making that your desire, and you will be found. I mean, I was led. I take no credit for anything I found. I was really found by my teacher. But I knew intuitively, instant I looked at his picture, that this was for me. So it's all about really letting go of all the false doctrines and teachings and opinions of parents and peers, and getting in touch with your higher knowing, and that's where a new now comes in. It's all about priming your mind to further your spiritual evolution.
But I think that a new now is very appropriate for, especially for young people,
especially
or anyone who is disillusioned with their religion, because it's a safe place to go and learn without any religion. It's just spiritual without any religions.
Yes, and
the
fastest growing religious spiritual group in the country for years has been spiritual, not religious, in terms of all the surveys taken. So a lot of religions, while they're losing people, they're self-identifying as spiritual, which is a beautiful thing, because spirituality is living. It's the real good, so to speak. So what, ask me, what would help our listeners the most at this point, if you could ask me anything?
Well, I think one of the things they're curious about is you apparently know many of your past lives. How did you discover them?
Well, I actually had, my intuition had been being developed since I was in high school. I did a number of different activities that unwittingly I was really developing my intuition, and then consciously I was doing that in my 40s and very much into 50s. But it wasn't until my small intestine died, and I almost died along with it, that I had to literally intuit every spoonful of food so I wouldn't have the most painful bowel obstructions, indescribably painful. So I really went into high gear. And it was really on the anniversary of my initiation day, March 14th, it's going to be in 2 days, that I realized, well, I've been intuiting so much, I wondered if I could intuit, you know, what my last lives were. And basically in my consciousness, I created a whole system of finding out. So that day I discovered what my most immediate four lives were. But I'd always had that desire long before I'd taken initiation. I wanted to be handed a piece of paper with, you know, what I had done my last four lives, where I lived, what I was doing spiritually or in terms of religion. And a few days later, there I was sitting with this, you know, four pages of details about my last four lives. So, you know, asking it shall be given to you. And so,
was it channeled though? Were you?
It was channeled through my higher consciousness, through my higher mind. Our soul is all knowing, and I have been meditating so much and developing my intuition to such an extent with all kinds of methods or strategies for knowing what's true and what's not true, that it was the all, I describe it as the all knowingness of my soul filtering through to my higher mind. So if you're completely lower mind oriented, like you're completely into pornography, to use kind of a crude example, or, you know, making a lot of money, having your ego paraded around everybody, that's very lower mind oriented. So a more spiritual person is higher mind oriented. So I had reached the state where I knew what was true and what was not true, or whether I could know. I mean, some things I would ask, I knew I could not know at this point. So, and then I kept getting all these triggers. See, actually, I was meant to write this book. I did a certain meditation between lives. And in the book, In Search of Lost Lives, there's some discussion of what I was doing between lives. And I was working with a spiritual teacher to be able to traverse time. I mean, I was able to go back anywhere on earth and know exactly what year I was born and when I died and what all the mundane details of that life. And the reason there is so much detail is that to anchor the book, because I write about my spiritual development in almost every life. I also write about my spiritual deed development, undevelopment, where my hurtful actions outweighed my good and helpful actions. And I lost the opportunity to come back as a human. And I had to take birth as an animal. I fell down the evolutionary scale and came back as an animal. So it was an extraordinary, I mean, the most amazing experience you can imagine. But one of the most gratifying things about it, Roberta, is that all of these impressions from past lives, all these affinities and talents and experiences of deja vu, I identified specifically which life they came from, which experiences. So it really clarified and defined who I am today. We're all individuals with different personality quirks, likes and aversions. I mean, you can look at any family and see two brothers or two sisters, and they're so different from each other often. And that may be because it's their first life together. But it really defined, you know, I wrote plays and directed plays starting at age 7. I mean, how many kids do that? I did architecture from that age. It's all related to recent past lives. And this is all set out really clearly in the book. So who we are is very much defined by who we've been and what predominant sanskaras, which is Sanskrit for past impressions, are what I say blooming in this life. I mean, there are musical composers who are brilliant, who start at age 5 or 8 or whatever, and they just make extraordinary progress. That didn't happen just because of their DNA or their bloodline. They came in prepared to do that, you know.
Right. That's pretty clear.
I mean, what else could it be? So we all come in with a destiny, but the challenge is to make best use of that destiny to progress spiritually, unless you're too attached to lower things.
Yeah, fascinating. What if people are in the latter part of their lives and they've been living a life along the surface? They've not been thinking deeply or been very spiritual, and they want to change. What would your recommendation be to them?
Well, I would first identify and think of yourself as a spiritual being, and then adopt an orientation that you are searching for the truth. So the whole world is designed to keep us away from the truth. Every passing thing wants to capture our attention. So I write a lot about attention and time in a new now, actually in all my books. So it's really about taking command of your life as best you can. You still have to go through your destiny, whatever it is, but you can finesse it by doing your best to lead a spiritual life and realize that everything that's capturing your attention outside in the world is not real. The only lasting reality is source, the supreme being. And that's where ultimately we belong. And you can either prolong your separation or encourage it, really. I mean, when you get down to it, all the misguided behavior, the violence, you know, the evil, it's really just a twisted desire for love. What we really want at our core is love, because that's really who we are. Our soul is a spark of love from the divine. And we want to go back to that source to rejoin. It's really our home. So all the soul pain, the heart pain, the mental pain, it's just because we're not living in a full consciousness of love.
So at really any age, we can reject. I mean, this reality is not real anyway. We can turn away from it. we can turn toward love, toward the eternal.
Right.
Embrace it.
Yeah, recognize, you know, you have different roles to play. Think of yourself as an actor on a stage with, you know, different scenes, people coming and going. I mean, sometimes like the best friend, their dark side could come out, or they could die, or they could move, and they're out of your life. Well, that part of the play is over. So do your best not to be attached to people, things, and ambitions. I mean, one of my favorite sayings, which I'm sure everyone's heard, is do your best and leave the rest. So recognize that this passing show is unreal, and what is real is eternal love, which is yours. And take, you know, adopt the identity of being a seeker after truth. And, you know, put the onus a little bit on God to bring you to that power, to further your spiritual evolution. We're really, I mean, the human body is the highest form of creation. I mean, when I acted poorly, I lost that great, great gift. Well, the human body is given solely for the purpose of God realization, to progress further in your realization of pure spirituality.
And when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Right. And for many who are seeking, the time is not ready and the teacher won't show up. And also you have to be very careful of teachers who may not have gone all the way, who may not be fully realized, who have an admixture of ego in their teachings. So
very important point.
Very important. I mean, people get, I mean, there have been all kinds of scandals about certain gurus doing all kinds of things. That, well, you know, when you're
very
a realized
important
master or true saint, call them what you will, they are beyond the passions of sex and ego. They're not going to be seducing their disciples. You know, they're not going to want to have their picture plastered everywhere and people bowing down. They are the embodiment of humility. So, I mean, you would, if you want a teacher, you'd look for someone who's perfectly humble, who won't ask you for a dollar of money. Masters never charge for what they give out, true masters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, today is the day, you know, as I say, first day of the rest of your life, and you can turn things around. I mean, we all have will, and we can exercise that will.
Well, believe it or not, we've come to the end of our time.
Oh, it just sped by.
It always goes so fast. What do you want people to remember from this time of our talking together?
Well, I guess really what I started with, that you are a glorious spiritual being and ready to awaken further. And I just want to encourage people to continue your journey on your search and to make best use of your life. And you are love, but if you know, you have to, we're all in the process of realizing that.
You are love.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. Well, my dear friends, we have once again come to the end of our time. I can't believe
it. I want to visit more. It's just delightful. Thank you.
Very, very good to see you. And my dear friends, we've come to the end of our time. So never forget, always remember that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. I know it's hard to believe that, but it's true. Once you really get it too, it never ceases to amaze me how much it changes everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Ray Catania, and he'll be here for the second time. He's a lot of fun, actually, as well. Ray is a metaphysical teacher, a theorist, and coach, and he's the visionary behind Limitless Publications, Limitless Coaching, and the Scientific Spirituality for the Modern Human. That's his theory. That's his kind of slogan. He's written two captivating books in his Awakening series. I think there'll be more. The first was The Atheist and the Afterlife. And the second is called You Are Still Alive, Now Act Like It, which I think is a cute title. We really enjoyed his first visit with us when we discussed his first book. And so this next time, next week, we're going to talk about his second book. And I hope you'll be with us next week. Please, please do join us. This week, we've been talking with Michael Goddard, and he's been with us for the third time. Michael has, as I say, been a meditator like no other meditator. And he's, I think, really been a seeker who has done a lot to kind of figure out things for people and help them kind of take his kind of journey. And so his books kind of do that. They're a way for people to make this maybe their last necessary earth lifetime, which is something I've been trying to focus on for people using just the teachings of Jesus, because many people want to do that. They've come out of Christianity. They're still kind of fearful because of that, but they think Jesus can lead them. And in fact, he can. So that's something which you can do it with. If you don't want to do it with the teachings of Jesus, you can do it certainly with Michael Goddard's teachings. His books, I think, are great. His first book that I know about that I've been working with is A New Now, Your Guide to Mastering Wisdom Daily, Achieving Equilibrium, and Empowering Your Nobler Self. And his second that I know about is In Search of Lost Lives, Desire, Sanskaras, and the Evolution of a Mind and Soul. And then his third book, which I can't remember the title of, but I just blurbed, will be out in the spring, and Michael will be back to talk about that one with us. I think that Michael is someone who can help you if you don't want to go with the teachings of Jesus. He can help you to really dig deeper and go higher with spirituality, which is something which, as you get into the second half of your life, that's what your life is all about. And I think his books are great for doing that. So I enjoy very much talking with Michael, and I think you will too. So this has been very enjoyable for me, and I hope it has been for you. And now, of course, it's time also to talk about Seek Reality Online, which is your one-stop resource for all things afterlife. Just go to seekreality.com and learn for yourself that your own reality is eternal. Whether you like it or not, you're not going to die. Learn the ultimate truth from our dear friend Craig Hogan, who's the president of Seek Reality Online. And once you really get the fact that your life is eternal, suddenly you have an infinite horizon. I think this is something I learned when I was right out of college. I spent 2 years figuring it out. And believe me, it changes everything. Teachingsbyjesus.com is your single resource for all the beautiful divine truths that are brought to us in perfect love by Jesus. Master Jesus has nothing to do with, believe it or not, the religion that bears his name. And now that that religion is dying, Jesus's turn finally has come. So if you really want to know what Jesus taught, you can go there and finally learn his truths. Now, as you know by now, my own nonfiction books I have a number of them, and they are, I'll recite them, I usually don't do this anymore, but Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and The Fun of Loving Jesus, Embracing the Christianity that Jesus Taught. For young children, there's The Fun of Meeting Jesus, which is a beautiful picture book. I love the illustrations. I love them because I didn't draw them. I could never draw that well. And if you want to talk about any of my books, or if you want to talk about anything, you can always contact me through the green contact block on robertagrimes.com. I answer every email provided you give me your right address. Sometimes people will write me questions. I give them answers, and the emails bounce, and that really ruins my day. So make sure you give me your correct address. And of all the more than 500 past episodes of Seek Reality Online, if you finally decide you really want to hear them all, they're all available wherever podcasts can be found. And if you want to just start, you know, listening every week, you can always listen on the free app, which you can find wherever free apps are available. Or you can watch us now. I used to tell people I have a great face for radio, which means Which means we always were never going to have, never were we going to go on video, but finally we decided we would. And now you can watch us every week on Roku, on Fire Stick, on YouTube, and elsewhere. And meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy, please make the most of this coming week in our one reality. And always know that you in particular, are a powerful, eternal being. And you, most of all, in this entire universe, you always, infinitely, and forever, you are eternally and perfectly loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.